们，大家好，今天是6月24号，星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务院把四家中国官媒在美分支列入外国使团名单。美国已经将9家中国官媒在美的机构列入外国使团名单，称这些机构是为中国共产党服务的宣传机构。中国已经威胁要做出必要的反应。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
In designating these outlets as foreign missions, we are formally recognizing the China Party State's effective control over so-called media entities, including those that operate here in the United States. While the Chinese Communist Party has always tightly controlled China's state news agencies, the control has actually tightened in recent years. Over the past decade, particularly under General Secretary Xi Jinping's tenure, the Chinese Communist Party has reorganized their state news agencies.And it asserted even more direct control over them.
被新定为外国使团的四家官媒是中国中央电视台、中新社、人民日报和环球时报。今年2月18号，美国国务院把新华社、中国环球电视网、中国国际广播电台、中国日报发行公司和人民日报的海外代理美国海天发展公司定为外国使团。美国官员说，此举不会阻止中国官媒报道新闻，而是增加和中共有关北京政府在美国进行的宣传活动的透明度。被指定为外国使团的中国官媒必须像各国驻美使馆和领事馆一样遵守某些行政规定，登记以及申报财产等等。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国联邦通讯委员会驳回了将加州一家演播室的中文节目转播到墨西哥，然后再转播回美国的申请。FCC 要求这家演播室在48小时内停止此类操作，并且称这家演播室与中国的政府有联系。FCC 在一个声明中说，申请没有列入凤凰广播电台这一个关键参与者，其股东中有2家由中国政府控股的实体。声明说，申请中的广播节目是在一个由这家广播电台使用、拥有和维护的演播室中创建还有制作的。共和党联邦参议员克鲁兹对 FCC 的决定表示欢迎。他说，凤凰电台是凤凰卫视旗下的一个公司，而凤凰卫视是中国共产党的傀儡，在美国各地播放宣传节目。他说， FCC 的决定是对抗中共宣传的关键一步。美国总统特朗普星期一晚间发推表示，美中贸易协议完好无损。在此之前，白宫贸易顾问纳瓦罗在接受媒体采访时表示说，因为中国对新冠疫情的处理方式，美中贸易协定已经终结。不过纳瓦罗后来也发表声明说，媒体对他的评论有一些断章取义。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄瑶毅的报道。
白宫贸易顾问纳瓦罗6月22号星期一在福克斯新闻网的节目 The Story 当中谈到了被问到说美中贸易协议第一阶段的一个实施的情况。当时呢，节目主持人玛莎麦克考兰询问他说，有篇报道指出关于特朗普总统为了要达成美中贸易协议，所以呢推迟了中国违反维吾尔人权的制裁。那么纳瓦罗则回答说呢，协议终结了。转折点是中国代表团1月15号在华盛顿签署贸易协议，当时他们已经知道这个新冠病毒2个月了，他们已经将几十万人送到我们国家来扩散病毒，在他们的飞机起飞几分钟之后，我们才开始听到这场大流行病的消息。纳瓦罗呢，并且将中国隐瞒新冠病毒的行为拿来跟当年日本在偷袭珍珠港之前的行为相比较。纳瓦罗发表了上述的评论之后呢，美国的股市以及期货市场预期指数大跌。纳瓦罗星期一晚上发出了声明，说他的评论被人猛烈的断章取义。他说呢，那些话跟美中贸易协议第一阶段毫无关系。他当时只是想说，在中国隐瞒病毒起源，而且向世界强推病毒大流行之后，现在美国对于中国共产党缺乏信心。而特朗普总统也在星期一的晚上发出推文，在推文当中说呢，与中国的贸易协议完好无损，我们希望他们会继续实施协议的条款。美国国务卿蓬佩奥6月17号上个星期三在夏威夷会见中国政治局委员梁洁篪之后说，中方在会谈当中重申会履行第一阶段贸易协议下的全部义务。不过负责国务院东亚事务的助理国务卿史达伟则说， 中方在会谈当中的态度不够积极坦诚，而且呢还补充说，中国如何履行两国第一阶段贸易协议，将是对北京是不是合作伙伴的一项好的测试。此外呢，我们知道美国国会也对中国是否会履行两国第一阶段的贸易协议提出了质疑，并且在上个星期召见了特朗普政府的官员到国会当中来作证。此外呢，我们知道在这个纳瓦罗以及特朗普总统分别做出了澄清之后，星期二的时候，美国的股市呈现的是上扬的趋势。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普总统签署了一项行政命令，将暂停签发部分工作签证。特朗普政府表示说，此举将有利于受新冠疫情打击的美国经济。
特朗普总统星期一签署的命令适用于 H-1B 签证、H-2B 签证、L 签证和某些 J 签证。特朗普政府表示，在新冠疫情打击美国经济之际，企业应该优先考虑雇佣美国工人。H-1B 签证用于技术人员，最长可延期至六年。这类签证在科技行业中很常见，是行政令影响到的规模最大的签证类型。上述签证限制将于星期三正式生效，并一直持续到今年年底，政府可以延续禁令。一位政府高级官员在电话通气会上表示，这些签证限制将为美国人释放超过50万个工作岗位。这位官员还表示，特朗普已经指示助手对移民体系进行长期改革，将建立一个更加择优的制度，在发放 H-1B 签证时将根据申请人的工资由高到低排序。这项行政令不适用于已经在美国的人，并给予了一些豁免，例如工作对美国食物供应链非常重要，或由国务院和国土安全部认为符合国家利益的人可以入境。四月底，特朗普签署了一项行政命令，要求在接下来的60天里暂停批准给美国永久居民的绿卡，理由是在新冠大流行期间需要保护美国人的就业机会。新的行政令也延长了这项即将在本周到期的措施，要求限制移民保护美国就业的游说团体普遍欢迎周一的行政令，但是商界表示反对，认为限制移民将损害美国的经济复苏。一些分析指，鉴于美国已经因新冠疫情缩紧了对中国和欧洲等国的入境限制，新的签证限制的影响可能有限。美国之音新闻报道。
华盛顿特区正在逐步放松针对新冠疫情的封锁，非必要业务也开始向当地人还有游客开放。
码头是波多马克河畔一个受欢迎的景点，在大流行病袭击美国之前，这里到处是当地人和游客。如今，随着美国首都开始逐步解除封锁，人们又回来了。尽管这里没有聚集的人潮，而且每个人都显得谨慎。
People might still get sick, and we might have a second wave. And I also really want to make sure that people are, you know, getting the economic opportunities that they deserve, and that people are getting taken care of. So it's a mixed bag, I imagine.
华盛顿特区市长鲍泽6月17日表示，在社区传播持续下降13天后，他预计该市将在几天之内进入重新开放的第二阶段，届时将允许50人以内的聚集，许多非必要零售商店、餐厅以及宗教场所等也将能开放50%的空间。
That we are trending in the right direction in each of these. Community spread at 13 days, low transmission rate, we have achieved positivity rate, we have achieved. Also, for sufficient health care capacity, we have achieved, and we are trending in the right direction for contact tracing.
来自尼日利亚的迈克尔·奥宾杜刚从霍华德大学毕业，取得金融硕士学位。他说，他感到感激，特别是在3个月的严格封锁、企业关闭和失业率飙升之后。
But the fact that we're getting there is really, really, what's it called? Helpful for people like me, recent graduate, looking for jobs and stuff like that.
加利德·本哈拉姆和他的家人从佛罗里达州驱车来到华盛顿特区。他说，看到这座城市如此安静，感觉很不寻常。
And I'm used to DC being busy with people. When we came in, it was like not a lot of people, and everybody was. We felt kind of safe actually, especially with things going on in Florida with the spike. And here, everybody, you know, they had their mask and they taking the distances, which was great.
I'm coming a sophomore next year. 本哈拉姆的女儿汉娜刚读完高中1年级。 他和大多数学生一样，过去几个月改为在线学习。
Teachers still get to post stuff, and we do learn, but it's not the same face to face.
在人们更多的出门探索、享受温暖天气的同时，大多数的人在不确定这个大流行病还有多大威力的同时，倾向于放松一些。美国之音寇斯特雷西，华盛顿报道。
纽约是全美新冠疫情的重灾区，目前已经进入了重启经济的第二阶段。这对于纽约市的居民来说，将意味着30多万人可能重返工作岗位。
餐馆有条件的开门，发廊终于接受预约，公园里满是快乐的孩子。纽约距离恢复正常状态仅一步之遥。6月22号，该市进入了重新开放的第二阶段。此前，纽约采取了一些最严格的封锁措施，也经历了最高新冠相关死亡率。
I want the city to feel safe, and that's the most important thing, you know. So I want us to all be safe, not only from viruses, but from violence and from all of the other social issues that, you know, need to be taken care of and addressed, but in a civilized and, you know, coming together way.
纽约市的餐馆正向食客敞开大门，一度只能外卖的餐馆现在可以让人们坐在开放的露台和阳台上就餐。纽约的开放餐厅计划是一个多阶段的工作，旨在扩大餐厅和酒吧的室外座位，促进开放空间，并帮助保持至少45000个工作岗位。一些区域允许餐馆在自行车道和停车区摆放桌子，餐馆确实需要获得所有的帮助。
We have suffered immensely, but it's worth it. You know, you cannot value your life.Based on how many dollars you're losing or how many dollars you're going to make. So I hope that we will make up the difference in due time. But we're happy that we're alive. We're happy that we're going to restore New York for what New York is all about.
Killed it, completely destroyed it. There's no business. We're open for just a few drinks and a few meals, maybe 10% of what we used to do. We can't pay rents, we can't pay utilities, we can't pay.Garbage, linen, any of the above. All we could pay are the team members that work.
在空空如也的地方有成百上千广告牌，这是由于新冠疫情中长达3个月的封锁措施带来的副作用。餐馆、非必需的生意和服装店，过去曾是纽约人正常生活的一部分，如今已成奢侈享受。
We're truly a small business, so it affected us tremendously. I kept my staff on.But we got the PPP loan. But if you're really a small business, the formula, the math, when 75% of it is for employees, we got $1,000 to help us with a rent that is phenomenal. So like, there's going to be a lot of small businesses that can't make it.
时装业也经历了转型，随着越来越多的人在家工作，舒适的休闲服又卷土重来。
We just finished restoring and getting this one ready.
Where it open as like a duster.
发廊很高兴见到他们的第一批客户，但不能随来随服务，要预约，并且根据新规定只能使用半数的理发椅。指甲沙龙可能是下一个，但目前仍在关闭中。美国之音维什尼瓦报道。
几个星期内，美国的许多城市都爆发了抗议示威，有几十个慈善组织正在募集资金，帮助非裔美国人社区，还有那些在动乱中受到伤害的人。
从5月25日因弗洛伊德之死而引发的抗议活动以来，美国已经有10000多人被捕。有些人有能力支付自己的保释金。而其他许多人则由一个叫做明尼苏达自由基金的慈善组织出面帮助。
2 weeks ago, our organization had 2 staff members that were paid staff and about 8 volunteers, with about a budget of $150,000 for the entire year as an organization to get people out on bail as well as immigration detention bond. As of Monday, we had about $31 million in our account from over 900,000 individual donors.
为了处理新的捐款和请求，这个组织邀请了更多的志愿者。他们的目标还是一样，在法院举行听证前帮助人们。So
it's just helping them establish that first step so that they can be released from custody and then find an attorney, start collecting whatever evidence they might need for their case. There's been a lot of discussion as, you know, who are you bailing out? Are you helping white supremacists? Are you getting all these people out that shouldn't be getting out? Our focus has always been the most vulnerable people in our community that need the help, especially those that have been vocal and been doing so in order to help their community continue to improve.
尽管美国各地的抗议浪潮正在减退，明尼苏达自由基金的员工和志愿工作者认为这不会影响被捕人数。
So many of the protesters have been getting arrested and then just given a ticket and released. They're not actually being detained. So what we're starting to see now is law enforcement with the use of facial recognition technology as well as some other surveillance and technology that they're getting from cameras and things throughout the city is that arrests are really starting to pick up now where people are actually being detained, and we anticipate this to be going on into the next few months.
当明尼苏达自由基金成立时，他们的想法是帮助在动乱时期被监禁的本地示威者，但最近这个组织也在努力帮助外州人。他们现在正在处理的最大一笔保释金为$500,000。
然而，基金目前已经暂时停止接受新的捐赠。他们鼓励想要捐赠的人把钱转寄给乔治·弗洛伊德家族基金以及黑人的命也是命运动。美国之音巴弗拉江华盛顿报道。在明尼苏达州的一名非裔美国人男子的死亡事件之后，美国的许多年轻人都走上街头。他们反对种族歧视，还有警察暴力。他们说他们要唤醒这个世界，并且推动变革。
刚从高中毕业的达安德里莱德在华盛顿市中心的人群中穿梭，一路摄影和采访。他说，抗议活动是和平的。
At around 6:15, the police came over the border and proceeded to block people in and have us in these small groups trying to cut people off from the large protest.
莱德说，控制人群的做法激化了紧张局势，并且破坏了和平。
Because they're literally moving towards you and banging shields and making noise and pepper spraying people. That's how a lot of things escalate.
That's when the rioters and the looters and the anarchists show up. I feel like they're just waiting there, just waiting for someone to start. They absolutely do not care about this movement, because if you cared about this movement, you wouldn't be taking advantage of it.
穆罕默迪和莱德上个月从华盛顿郊区的高中毕业。莱德说，在这个时刻进入成年期令人害怕。
It just feels like we're stepping into a world that's just completely awry. Like everything is going wrong at like the exact same time.
他们是美国黑人乔治·弗洛伊德之死所激发的全球运动的一部分。弗洛伊德被警方控制下死亡，当时他已被制服。一个明尼阿波利斯的警官用膝盖压住弗洛伊德的颈部将近9分钟。根据事发过程的录像。 弗洛伊德跟警察说：“我不能呼吸。”这句话的口号在全球各地的示威群众中回响。
I think for once it seems like the reaction is actually proportionate, at least in my opinion, to this accumulation of the same thing happening over and over and over again.
在历史上，美国的大规模抗议活动推动了变革。Several
demonstrators were arrested.
This is a historical moment, and we can't just let history pass us by.
像许多年轻人一样，塔亚莫说，他参与政治是为了引导国家向一个不同的方向发展。薇薇安则说，持久的体制改革和每个人息息相关。We
can tweet about it, we can hashtag about it, we can be upset about it and share the video, but until we start going and taking political power, not much will change.
You can knock on people's doors and say, hey, what issues do you care about? That's not a partisan thing. I think a lot of the time the framing of it is partisan.
莱德是个有抱负的纪录片制作人，他说他认为自己的作用是记录抗议活动并访问参与者。他的结论是一个人也可能促成很大的变化。
No one should feel like they're not enough because everyone is enough. That's the whole point. We're ready for any support towards any issue. And driving change is just really up to you as a person. I can do my part. The next person can do their part. And it's just a chain.
塔亚莫说，修复一个损坏的体系对他这一代人来说是要花起十年时间的项目，但他同样保持乐观态度。
I think that there's a hope that we can definitely go and take power and take control and try to go and make a change.But that, once again, just it depends on us.
他说，要促成变化，每个人都必须投票。美国之音记者贝尼托发来的报道。
随着抗议活动蔓延到美国的许多城市，一些官员将其中的一些动乱归咎于反法西斯组织安提法，而特朗普总统更是表示，他要将安提法定义为恐怖组织。
名为反法西斯主义者的安提法运动是专家们所说的没有任何实际结构或真正领导人的运动。安全专家说，他们所知道的是，在美国自称安提法的人是一个相对较小的群体，在几个城市中只有十几个人。
Antifa ranges all the way from non-violent progressives, this is important, who are deeply troubled.By the racism and violence and vacuum with regard to addressing it here in the United States and around the world, all the way over to violent people who believe there's a siren call to eliminate not only bigotry, but institutions that they think are connected to oppression, which includes journalists, which include governments. But for the most part now, they are focused on confronting white supremacists, neo-Nazis,xenophobes and people who they regard as such or their supporters. The problem is it's an elastic pool of people who share very different philosophies about how to confront bigotry and systemic racism and then what to do with society in that midst. At the most hardest edge,It does embrace violence as a tactic.
在美国发生的几起抗议活动中，自称安提法的人们戴着黑色面具，用侵犯性举动对待警察和记者。但是研究表明，当涉及到政治暴力时，最左翼的群体通常不是问题所在。马里兰大学的一项研究发现，2010年至2016年间，美国12%的恐怖袭击是左翼组织实施的，而35%是极右翼组织促成的。六月初，特朗普总统试图将安提法指定为恐怖组织，但律师们解释说，即使安提法是一个有组织的团体，联邦政府也没有法律权限这样做。
It's diverse, but it's not a group, and you need two things right now under American law. You need an actual group, and you also need some connection to an international nexus. That's just not my opinion. That's what the federal law is, and right now we don't have that.But bottom line is, it's not a group, it's a broad philosophy.
根据仇恨与极端主义研究中心的数据，2019年白人至上主义者和激进右翼实施了26项被定为仇恨犯罪的谋杀案。根据同一数据，被确认是安提法的人在过去三年中未犯任何此类罪行。其他研究人员说，任何将安提法列为恐怖组织的打算，都意味着其他左右翼组织也符合了恐怖组织的标准。
I guess in some instances you could call Antifa a terrorist group, but then again, if you did that label, then you would have to start giving terrorist groups. So you have to label environmentalists, you'd have to animal rights, and then on the right, you would have to start labeling the Ku Klux Klan, the Aryan Nations, World Church of the Creator, those types of organizations. So, and a lot of it goes back to that we don't really have a structured definition of what is domestic terrorism.
华盛顿州立大学的一位研究社会运动的教授说，如果安提法是一个有组织的团体，他们的战术并没有真正达到恐怖主义的程度。
I'd say Antifa is maybe 1 or 2% of the typical progressive or left protests, and they are not particularly well liked by the majority of nonviolent protesters.They engage in a certain degree of vandalism. They sometimes have engaged in fist fights or slug matches with right-wing protesters. But they have not done anything that's particularly violent in the way that would allow them to be designated as terrorists, as the administration has attempted to do recently.
联邦调查局对被认为有潜在威胁的几个团体进行了监视，其中包括主权公民和白人至上团体，以及动物权利团体和无政府主义者。美国之音阿维蒂斯安报道。
吉他手和他的两个孩子共同演奏，度过了一个美妙的父亲节。
I'm Steve Mazakowski, and I'm a jazz guitar player, composer, educator from New Orleans, Louisiana.
My name is Sasha Mazakowski. I am a singer, jazz musician, here in New Orleans, Louisiana. So my earliest memories would be watching my father perform at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival with his band, The Astral Project. He's played with everybody. He's so well-versed, and he's, you know, renowned all over the world because of that.
I didn't really want to push my kids into music, and my wife either. I wanted them to experience the joy of music without being pressured into it. And I think that's what happened.
I think what I love about jazz is the freedom that you have to really find your own voice. Playing music together with my dad, he used to sit me down at the piano when I was a little girl and teach me ear training and try to teach me how to improvise while he played guitar.
How old were you there?
I don't know.
Probably about one.
I think I was like a freshman in high school, and there was a boy who was like a junior or senior, and I had a crush on him. I thought he looked like Justin Timberlake. I remember he came up to me and he grabbed my hands and he said, "Oh my gosh, you have your dad's hands," because he was this total music nerd. And I was like, "Oh, my dad's actually kind of cool, and like, you know, I can use this to my advantage."
I mean, one of the most memorable things for me was our first gig that we ever did. Do you remember where it was?
It was like at that like restaurant or something.
We play together, and sometimes we tour together. We'll go to Europe, and it's a wonderful experience to be able to play with your kids.
What's my dad like as a person? He is super duper 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 smart and like can do anything himself.
I already put the water in.
Because he can just fix my car, you know, or do anything in the house, the plumbing, the electricity.
Father's Day is, I guess it's special to me now because when I see my kids grown and pursuing their own careers, it's really amazing. It makes me very, very proud. I think, like I say, we all have our own separate careers, but we get together, you know, as a family, and we tend to find common ground in New Orleans music or original compositions and things like that.
The black key, white key game.
Yeah.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 大家好，今天是6月24号，星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国国务院把四家中国官媒在美分支列入外国使团名单。美国已经将9家中国官媒在美的机构列入外国使团名单，称这些机构是为中国共产党服务的宣传机构。中国已经威胁要做出必要的反应。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
In designating these outlets as foreign missions, we are formally recognizing the China Party State's effective control over so-called media entities, including those that operate here in the United States. While the Chinese Communist Party has always tightly controlled China's state news agencies, the control has actually tightened in recent years. Over the past decade, particularly under General Secretary Xi Jinping's tenure, the Chinese Communist Party has reorganized their state news agencies.And it asserted even more direct control over them.
被新定为外国使团的四家官媒是中国中央电视台、中新社、人民日报和环球时报。今年2月18号，美国国务院把新华社、中国环球电视网、中国国际广播电台、中国日报发行公司和人民日报的海外代理美国海天发展公司定为外国使团。美国官员说，此举不会阻止中国官媒报道新闻，而是增加和中共有关北京政府在美国进行的宣传活动的透明度。被指定为外国使团的中国官媒必须像各国驻美使馆和领事馆一样遵守某些行政规定，登记以及申报财产等等。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
美国联邦通讯委员会驳回了将加州一家演播室的中文节目转播到墨西哥，然后再转播回美国的申请。FCC 要求这家演播室在48小时内停止此类操作，并且称这家演播室与中国的政府有联系。FCC 在一个声明中说，申请没有列入凤凰广播电台这一个关键参与者，其股东中有2家由中国政府控股的实体。声明说，申请中的广播节目是在一个由这家广播电台使用、拥有和维护的演播室中创建还有制作的。共和党联邦参议员克鲁兹对 FCC 的决定表示欢迎。他说，凤凰电台是凤凰卫视旗下的一个公司，而凤凰卫视是中国共产党的傀儡，在美国各地播放宣传节目。他说， FCC 的决定是对抗中共宣传的关键一步。美国总统特朗普星期一晚间发推表示，美中贸易协议完好无损。在此之前，白宫贸易顾问纳瓦罗在接受媒体采访时表示说，因为中国对新冠疫情的处理方式，美中贸易协定已经终结。不过纳瓦罗后来也发表声明说，媒体对他的评论有一些断章取义。我们来看美国之音白宫记者黄瑶毅的报道。
白宫贸易顾问纳瓦罗6月22号星期一在福克斯新闻网的节目 The Story 当中谈到了被问到说美中贸易协议第一阶段的一个实施的情况。当时呢，节目主持人玛莎麦克考兰询问他说，有篇报道指出关于特朗普总统为了要达成美中贸易协议，所以呢推迟了中国违反维吾尔人权的制裁。那么纳瓦罗则回答说呢，协议终结了。转折点是中国代表团1月15号在华盛顿签署贸易协议，当时他们已经知道这个新冠病毒2个月了，他们已经将几十万人送到我们国家来扩散病毒，在他们的飞机起飞几分钟之后，我们才开始听到这场大流行病的消息。纳瓦罗呢，并且将中国隐瞒新冠病毒的行为拿来跟当年日本在偷袭珍珠港之前的行为相比较。纳瓦罗发表了上述的评论之后呢，美国的股市及期货市场预期指数大跌。纳瓦罗星期一晚上发出了声明，说他的评论被人猛烈的断章取义。他说呢，那些话跟美中贸易协议第一阶段毫无关系。他当时只是想说，在中国隐瞒病毒起源，而且向世界强推病毒大流行之后，现在美国对于中国共产党缺乏信心。而特朗普总统也在星期一的晚上发出推文，在推文当中说呢，与中国的贸易协议完好无损，我们希望他们会继续实施协议的条款。美国国务卿蓬佩奥6月17号上个星期三在夏威夷会见中国政治局委员梁洁篪之后说，中方在会谈当中重申会履行第一阶段贸易协议下的全部义务。不过负责国务院东亚事务的助理国务卿史达伟则说， 中方在会谈当中的态度不够积极坦诚，而且呢还补充说，中国如何履行两国第一阶段贸易协议，将是对北京是不是合作伙伴的一项好的测试。此外呢，我们知道美国国会也对中国是否会履行两国第一阶段的贸易协议提出了质疑，并且在上个星期召见了特朗普政府的官员到国会当中来作证。此外呢，我们知道在这个纳瓦罗以及特朗普总统分别做出了澄清之后，星期二的时候，美国的股市呈现的是上扬的趋势。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
特朗普总统签署了一项行政命令，将暂停签发部分工作签证。特朗普政府表示说，此举将有利于受新冠疫情打击的美国经济。
特朗普总统星期一签署的命令适用于 H-1B 签证、H-2B 签证、L 签证和某些 J 签证。特朗普政府表示，在新冠疫情打击美国经济之际，企业应该优先考虑雇佣美国工人。H-1B 签证用于技术人员，最长可延期至6年。这类签证在科技行业中很常见，是行政令影响到的规模最大的签证类型。上述签证限制将于星期三正式生效，并一直持续到今年年底，政府可以延续禁令。一位政府高级官员在电话通气会上表示，这些签证限制将为美国人释放超过50万个工作岗位。这位官员还表示，特朗普已经指示助手对移民体系进行长期改革，将建立一个更加择优的制度，在发放 H-1B 签证时将根据申请人的工资由高到低排序。这项行政令不适用于已经在美国的人，并给予了一些豁免，比如工作对美国食物供应链非常重要，或由国务院和国土安全部认为符合国家利益的人可以入境。四月底，特朗普签署了一项行政命令，要求在接下来的60天里暂停批准给美国永久居民的绿卡，理由是在新冠大流行期间需要保护美国人的就业机会。新的行政令也延长了这项即将在本周到期的措施。要求限制移民保护美国就业的游说团体普遍欢迎周一的行政令，但是商界表示反对，认为限制移民将损害美国的经济复苏。一些分析指，鉴于美国已经因新冠疫情缩紧了对中国和欧洲等国的入境限制，新的签证限制的影响可能有限。美国之音新闻报道。
华盛顿特区正在逐步放松针对新冠疫情的封锁，非必要业务也开始向当地人还有游客开放。
码头是波多马克河畔一个受欢迎的景点，在大流行病袭击美国之前，这里到处是当地人和游客。如今随着美国首都开始逐步解除封锁，人们又回来了，尽管这里没有聚集的人潮，而且每个人都显得谨慎。
People might still get sick and we might have a second wave. And I also really want to make sure that people are, you know, getting the economic opportunities that they deserve and that people are getting taken care of. So it's a mixed bag, I imagine.
华盛顿特区市长鲍泽6月17日表示，在社区传播持续下降13天后，他预计该市将在几天之内进入重新开放的第二阶段，届时将允许50人以内的聚集，许多非必要零售商店、餐厅以及宗教场所等也将能开放50%的空间。
That we are trending in the right direction in each of these. Community spread at 13 days, low transmission rate, we have achieved positivity rate, we have achieved. Also, for sufficient health care capacity, we have achieved, and we are trending in the right direction for contact tracing.
来自尼日利亚的迈克尔·奥宾杜刚从霍华德大学毕业，取得金融硕士学位。他说，他感到感激，特别是在3个月的严格封锁、企业关闭和失业率飙升之后。
But the fact that we're getting there is really, really, was a kind of hopeful for people like me, recent graduate looking for jobs and stuff like that.
加利德·本哈拉姆和他的家人从佛罗里达州驱车来到华盛顿特区。他说，看到这座城市如此安静，感觉很不寻常。
And I'm used to DC being busy with people. When we came in, it was like not a lot of people, and everybody was. We felt kind of safe actually, especially with things going on in Florida with the spike. And here, everybody, you know, they had their mask and they taking the distances, which was great.
I'm coming a sophomore next year. 本哈拉姆的女儿汉娜刚读完高中1年级。 他和大多数学生一样，过去几个月改为在线学习。
And it kind of gets lonely when we're at home, but the teachers still get to post stuff, and we do learn, but it's not the same face to face.
在人们更多的出门探索、享受温暖天气的同时，大多数的人在不确定这个大流行病还有多大威力的同时，倾向于放松一些。美国之音寇斯特雷西，华盛顿报道。
纽约是全美新冠疫情的重灾区，目前已经进入了重启经济的第二阶段，这对于纽约市的居民来说将意味着30多万人可能重返工作岗位。
餐馆有条件的开门，发廊终于接受预约，公园里满是快乐的孩子。纽约距离恢复正常状态仅一步之遥，6月22号，该市进入了重新开放的第二阶段。此前纽约采取了一些最严格的封锁措施，也经历了最高新冠相关死亡率。
I want the city to feel safe, and that's the most important thing, you know. So I want us to all be safe, not only from viruses, but from violence and from all the other social issues that, you know, need to be taken care of and addressed, but in a civilized and, you know, coming together way.
纽约市的餐馆正向食客敞开大门，一度只能外卖的餐馆现在可以让人们坐在开放的露台和阳台上就餐。纽约的开放餐厅计划是一个多阶段的工作，旨在扩大餐厅和酒吧的室外座位，促进开放空间，并帮助保持至少45000个工作岗位。一些区域允许餐馆在自行车道和停车区摆放桌子，餐馆确实需要获得所有的帮助。
We have suffered immensely, but it's worth it. You know, you cannot value your life based on how many dollars you're losing or how many dollars you're going to make. So I hope that we will make up the difference in due time. But we're happy that we're alive. We're happy that we're going to restore New York for what it's New York is all about.
Killed it. Completely destroyed it. There's no business. We're open for...just a few drinks and a few meals, maybe 10% of what we used to do. We can't pay rents, we can't pay utilities, we can't pay garbage, linen, any of the above. All we can pay are the team members that work.
在空空如也的地方有成百上千广告牌，这是由于新冠疫情中长达3个月的封锁措施带来的副作用。餐馆、非必需的生意和服装店，过去曾是纽约人正常生活的一部分，如今已成奢侈享受。
We're truly a small business, so it affected us tremendously. I kept my staff on, but we got the PPP loan. But if you're really a small business, the formula, the math, when 75% of it is for employees, we got $1,000 to help us with the rent that is phenomenal. So like, there's going to be a lot of small businesses that can't make it.
时装业也经历了转型，随着越来越多的人在家工作，舒适的休闲服又卷土重来。
We just finished restoring and getting this one ready. Wear it open as like a duster.
发廊很高兴见到他们的第一批客户，但不能随来随服务，要预约，并且根据新规定只能使用半数的理发椅。指甲沙龙可能是下一个，但目前仍在关闭中。美国之音维什尼瓦报道。
几个星期内，美国的许多城市都爆发了抗议示威，有几十个慈善组织正在募集资金，帮助非裔美国人社区，还有那些在动乱中受到伤害的人。
从5月25日因弗洛伊德之死而引发的抗议活动以来，美国已经有10000多人被捕。有些人有能力支付自己的保释金，而其他许多人则由一个叫做明尼苏达自由基金的慈善组织出面帮助。
2 weeks ago, our organization had two staff members that were paid staff and about eight volunteers, with about a budget of $150,000 for the entire year as an organization to get people out on bail as well as immigration detention bond. As of Monday, we had about $31 million in our account from over 900,000 individual donors.
为了处理新的捐款和请求，这个组织邀请了更多的志愿者。他们的目标还是一样，在法院举行听证前帮助人们。So
it's just helping them establish that first step so that they can be released from custody and then find an attorney, start collecting whatever evidence they might need for their case. There's been a lot of discussion as, you know, who are you bailing out? Are you helping white supremacists? Are you getting all these people out that shouldn't be getting out? Our focus has always been the most vulnerable people in our community that need the help, especially those that have been vocal and been doing so in order to help their community continue to improve.
尽管美国各地的抗议浪潮正在减退，明尼苏达自由基金的员工和志愿工作者认为这不会影响被捕人数。
So many of the protesters have been getting arrested and then just given a ticket and released. They're not actually being detained. So what we're starting to see now is law enforcement with the use of facial recognition technology, as well as some other surveillance and technology that they're getting from cameras and things throughout the city, is that arrests are really starting to pick up now, where people are actually being detained, and we anticipate this to be going on into the next few months.
当明尼苏达自由基金成立时，他们的想法是帮助在动乱时期被监禁的本地示威者。但最近，这个组织也在努力帮助外州人。他们现在正在处理的最大一笔保释金为$500,000。
然而，基金目前已经暂时停止接受新的捐赠。他们鼓励想要捐赠的人把钱转寄给乔治·弗洛伊德家族基金以及黑人的命也是命运动。美国之音巴弗拉江华盛顿报道。在明尼苏达州的一名非裔美国人男子的死亡事件之后，美国的许多年轻人都走上街头。他们反对种族歧视，还有警察暴力。他们说他们要唤醒这个世界，并且推动变革。
刚从高中毕业的达安德里莱德在华盛顿市中心的人群中穿梭，一路摄影和采访。他说，抗议活动是和平的。
At around 6:15, the police came over the border and proceeded to block people in and have us in these small groups trying to cut people off from the large protest.
莱德说，控制人群的做法激化了紧张局势，并且破坏了和平。
Because they're literally moving towards you and banging shields and making noise and pepper spraying people. That's how a lot of things escalate.
That's when the rioters and the looters and the anarchists show up. I feel like they're just waiting there, just waiting for someone to start. They absolutely do not care about this movement, because if you cared about this movement, you wouldn't be taking advantage of it.
穆罕默迪和莱德上个月从华盛顿郊区的高中毕业。莱德说，在这个时刻进入成年期令人害怕。
It just feels like we're stepping into a world that's just completely awry. Like everything is going wrong at like the exact same time.
他们是美国黑人乔治·弗洛伊德之死所激发的全球运动的一部分。弗洛伊德被警方控制下死亡，当时他已被制服。一个明尼阿波利斯的警官用膝盖压住弗洛伊德的颈部将近9分钟。根据事发过程的录像，弗洛伊德跟警察说：“我不能呼吸。”这句话的口号在全球各地的示威群众中回响。
I think for once, it seems like the reaction is actually proportionate, at least in my opinion, to this accumulation of the same thing happening over and over and over again.
在历史上，美国的大规模抗议活动推动了变革。Several
demonstrators were arrested.
This is a historical moment, and we can't just let history pass us by.
像许多年轻人一样，塔亚莫说，他参与政治是为了引导国家向一个不同的方向发展。薇薇安则说，持久的体制改革和每个人息息相关。We
can tweet about it, we can hashtag about it, we can be upset about it and share the video, but until we start going and taking political power, not much will change.
You can knock on people's doors and say, hey, what issues do you care about? That's not a partisan thing. I think a lot of the time the framing of it is partisan.
莱德是个有抱负的纪录片制作人，他说他认为自己的作用是记录抗议活动并访问参与者。他的结论是一个人也可能促成很大的变化。
No one should feel like they're not enough because everyone is enough. That's the whole point. We're ready for any support towards any issue. And driving change is just really up to you as a person. I can do my part. The next person can do their part. And it's just a chain.
塔亚莫说，修复一个损坏的体系对他这一代人来说是要花几十年时间的项目，但他同样保持乐观态度。
I think that there's a hope that we can definitely go and take power and take control and try to go and make a change.But that, once again, just it depends on us.
他说，要促成变化，每个人都必须投票。美国之音记者贝尼托发来的报道。
随着抗议活动蔓延到美国的许多城市，一些官员将其中的一些动乱归咎于反法西斯组织安提法，而特朗普总统更是表示，他要将安提法定义为恐怖组织。
名为反法西斯主义者的安提法运动是专家们所说的没有任何实际结构或真正领导人的运动。安全专家说，他们所知道的是，在美国自称安提法的人是一个相对较小的群体，在几个城市中只有十几个人。
Antifa ranges all the way from non-violent progressives, this is important, who are deeply troubled.By the racism and violence and vacuum with regard to addressing it here in the United States and around the world, all the way over to violent people who believe there's a siren call to eliminate not only bigotry, but institutions that they think are connected to oppression, which includes journalists, which include governments. But for the most part now, they are focused on confronting white supremacists, neo-Nazis,xenophobes and people who they regard as such or their supporters. The problem is it's an elastic pool of people who share very different philosophies about how to confront bigotry and systemic racism and then what to do with society in that midst. At the most hardest edge,It does embrace violence as a tactic.
在美国发生的几起抗议活动中，自称安提法的人们戴着黑色面具，用侵犯性举动对待警察和记者。但是研究表明，当涉及到政治暴力时，最左翼的群体通常不是问题所在。马里兰大学的一项研究发现，2010年至2016年间，美国12%的恐怖袭击是左翼组织实施的，而35%是极右翼组织促成的。六月初，特朗普总统试图将安提法指定为恐怖组织，但律师们解释说，即使安提法是一个有组织的团体，联邦政府也没有法律权限这样做。
It's diverse, but it's not a group, and you need two things right now under American law. You need an actual group, and you also need some connection to an international nexus. That's just not my opinion. That's what the federal law is, and right now we don't have that.But bottom line is, it's not a group, it's a broad philosophy.
根据仇恨与极端主义研究中心的数据，2019年白人至上主义者和激进右翼实施了26项被定为仇恨犯罪的谋杀案。根据同一数据，被确认是安提法的人在过去三年中未犯任何此类罪行。其他研究人员说，任何将安提法列为恐怖组织的打算，都意味着其他左右翼组织也符合了恐怖组织的标准。
I guess in some instances you could call Antifa a terrorist group, but then again, if you did that label, then you would have to start giving terrorist groups. So you have to label environmentalists, you'd have to animal rights, and then on the right, you would have to start labeling the Ku Klux Klan, the Aryan Nations, World Church of the Creator, those types of organizations. So, and a lot of it goes back to that we don't really have a structured definition of what is domestic terrorism.
华盛顿州立大学的一位研究社会运动的教授说，如果安提法是一个有组织的团体，他们的战术并没有真正达到恐怖主义的程度。
I'd say Antifa is maybe 1-2% of the typical progressive or left protests, and they are not particularly well-liked by the majority of non-violent protesters.They engage in a certain degree of vandalism. They sometimes have engaged in fist fights or slug matches with right-wing protesters. But they have not done anything that's particularly violent in the way that would allow them to be designated as terrorists, as the administration has attempted to do recently.
联邦调查局对被认为有潜在威胁的几个团体进行了监视，其中包括主权公民和白人至上团体，以及动物权利团体和无政府主义者。美国之音阿维蒂斯安报道。
著名的吉他手和他的两个孩子共同演奏，度过了一个美妙的父亲节。
I'm Steve Mazakowski, and I'm a jazz guitar player, composer, educator from New Orleans, Louisiana. Well, our household was full of music, for sure. My wife is a classically trained pianist, and we actually met when she was going to Loyola University, and she was studying music there. And I had been playing at a jazz club called Tyler's at the time, playing with Ellis Marcellus.
My name is Sasha Mazakowski. I am a singer, jazz musician here in New Orleans, Louisiana. So my earliest memories would be watching my father perform at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival with his band, the Asheville Project. He's played with everybody. He's so well-versed, and he's, you know, renowned all over the world because of that.
I didn't really want to push my kids into music, and my wife either. I wanted them to experience the joy of music without being pressured into it. And I think that's what happened.
I think what I love about jazz is the freedom that you have to really find your own voice. Playing music together with my dad, he used to sit me down at the piano when I was a little girl and teach me ear training and try to teach me how to improvise while he played guitar.
How old were you there?
I don't know.
Probably about one.
I think I was like a freshman in high school, and there was a boy who was like a junior or senior, and I had a crush on him. I thought he looked like Justin Timberlake. I remember he came up to me and he grabbed my hands and he said, "Oh my gosh, you have your dad's hands," because he was this total music nerd. And I was like, "Oh, my dad's actually kind of cool, and like, you know, I can use this to my advantage."
I mean, one of the most memorable things for me was our first gig that we ever did. Do you remember where it was?
It was like at that like restaurant or something.
We play together, and sometimes we tour together. We'll go to Europe, and it's a wonderful experience to be able to play with your kids.
What's my dad like as a person? He is super duper 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 smart and like can do anything himself.
I already put the water in.
Because he can just fix my car, you know, or do anything in the house, the plumbing, the electricity.
Father's Day is, I guess it's special to me now because when I see my kids grown and pursuing their own careers, it's really amazing. It makes me very, very proud. I think, like I say, we all have our own separate careers, but we get together, you know, as a family, and we tend to find common ground in New Orleans music or original compositions and things like that.
It's the black key, white key game.
Yeah.
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容。感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。